現代な夢の後の何もない世の中じゃ。
Hello everyone, and welcome to part 4 of our Digimon Adventure novel series as we read through Onkei's English translation of the Digimon Adventure novels that were released in Japan. So we've finished chapter 1 last time with parts 1, 2 and 3, so now with part 4 we'll be starting chapter 2. And for this part we'll only be covering part 1 of chapter 2. Chapter 2, File Island. Part 1. Black Gears. The only certain thing that he knew was that this was not an amusement park. It was now almost a week since they had arrived in this strange place, and they had travelled for miles without finding an exit. If this expansive area really was a theme park, Koshiro was sure that he would have at least heard about it on the news. Besides, Koshiro thought, as he looked at Tentomon flying beside him, to think that creatures like this live here. Feeling Koshiro's gaze, Tentomon looked back at him curiously with his green stare.
"What's the matter, Koshiro-han? Is there something on my face?"
No, it's nothing. A large ladybug that he could wrap his arms around. Not only that, but Tentomon spoke in a Kansai dialect, and he could change into a larger being just like how Agumon became Greymon. How could these things do that, and what prompted them to come into existence in the first place? These past few days, the children had done nothing but wander around in earnest, searching for a way to escape this place and return home. Yet, instead of finding other humans besides them, they encountered a large number of diverse beings who were all classified as Digimon. There was one who looked like a dragon, another like a robot, another like a stuffed teddy bear that was two stories high, and then another who looked like a fireball shaped like a man. Each time danger befell the children, the Digimon they had with them would undergo something called evolution, and they would all make it through somehow. Even Koshiro's Tentomon evolved and became a rhinoceros beetle, which was the size of a small truck. However, perhaps because maintaining that form used up a lot of energy, Tentomon returned to his former size after his battle. For reasons that could not be explained, Tentomon would not degenerate further into his smaller form, Moshimon. This held true for the rest of the Digimon. The only ones among the seven Digimon who had not shown their evolved forms was the oldest boy, Joe's Digimon, Gomamon, and the youngest boy, Takeru's Digimon, Patamon. "I wonder why it's called evolution," Koshiro mused, voicing his thoughts to Tentomon this time. "I mean, evolution normally consists of an entire species changing slowly over a long period of time. The changes that you and your friends undergo are more like a transformation. You each transform into something too enormous to be an evolution."
"Well, I don't know the answer to that myself," Tentomon replied. I can't give an explanation, but I'm all aware that this isn't a transformation but evolution."
As they walked, Koshiro asked Tentomon many things about this region and about Digimon. While doing so, he couldn't help but feel a slight self-derision snorting at him in the back of his mind. Never before had he talked so much to a stranger, even if that stranger wasn't a human being. In the days before he had left for camp, he normally avoided taking the initiative to talk to others at school. He didn't like getting involved with them, especially not when he didn't even know who in the world he was. As a matter of course, his classmates rarely had a chance to talk to him. Many thought that he was hard to get along with, and Koshiro personally didn't find that inconvenient, so he did nothing to persuade them otherwise. Taichi Yagami was one of the few exceptions. Because their school curriculum had a physical education requirement, Koshiro was forced to choose a club. It was a mere coincidence that he chose the soccer club. He wouldn't have to face people one-on-one if he was in a club emphasizing teamwork rather than individual achievement. And the positions in soccer appeared more vague than they were in baseball. He felt that in the soccer club, he wouldn't have to go out of his way to engage with other people. Taichi was an upperclassman that was in that soccer club. It wasn't that he was extremely talkative, but Taichi treated everyone without discrimination as equals. that attitude of his didn't change, even towards Koshiro. If Tai Chi hadn't invited him, Koshiro was sure that he would have never gone to summer camp in the first place. They walked while keeping the steep tower of a mountain the Digimon called Infinity Mountain on their right side and the ocean to their left. The direction of the sun had changed during their journey, so they knew they had been circling the island. That is, if this place really was an island. If they assumed that the sun rose from the east, then they should be on the northmost part of the island right now. As if the island wanted to give physical proof, the temperature had dropped greatly and they came to an area that was covered in snow. They had only walked several days from the beach, which they had believed was on the south coast, to reach a snowfield. Did such an area ever exist on Earth? Because the children who wore summer clothes for camp, they grew easily numb in the cold. The warmer clothes they had meant to wear at night were left in their book bags, which were back at camp. Only Mimi and Takeru, because they wore slightly thicker clothes, rejoiced as they played in the snow. The plant Digimon, Palmon, who was as big as a baby and could walk on two legs, as well as Patamon, a hamster the size of a cat with large ears that flapped like wings but made him move slower than if he was just walking, were with them. Palmon was Mimi's Digimon, while Patamon was Takeru's, and their personalities with their humans were very similar. In other words, both of them were like children without a thread of apprehension in them about their situation. "I'm hungry," Mimi commented a little while after playing, to which Joe replied with irritation, "Instead of saying that all the time, why don't you just try looking for food on your own first?" The emergency food supply that Joe was carrying had been eaten up long ago. Immediately after the incident with Shelmon had occurred, all of their food had been used to nourish everyone. For better or for worse, the island, although Joe would not accept that it was that just yet, was filled with things that could be eaten. Even though it was hard to believe that they were being supplied with electricity, they found vending machines that actually worked, a storehouse inside an uninhabited cabin that was filled with food, wild plants, and a bunch of other things they didn't know were edible. The Digimon were very familiar with this kind of food, and the children never had any trouble having things to eat and drink every day. Of course, if they didn't have their Digimon's knowledge, they wouldn't have learned about this so easily. Joe couldn't exactly remember what he had gleaned from reading all of those young adult books on island survival, so he was secretly grateful to the Digimon for their help. But now... "What is wrong with you people anyway?" he continued. "Don't you realize this situation that we're in right now? We have to find the adults quickly and get them to help us out of this place. We have to find somewhere to sleep for tonight, and since we can't just lie down in a cold place like this, we have to start a fire before the sun goes down. There are so many things that we have to do, yet all you do is complain." Oh no, I've said too much. Before Joe's conscience had time to catch up with his mouth and throttle it for being so harsh, Mimi began to cry. But, she wailed. Mimi continued to sob until they heard Sora shout and that they had found food. It took the breath out of Sora's lungs to raise her voice loud enough to be heard over Mimi's cries. The anticipation of food warming their stomachs, or, to be more exact, the stuff Sora had found inside a refrigerator that she thought might be food, in this cold district pleased everyone greatly. With bright faces, they all gathered around the refrigerator. Joe was the only one who arrived slower than the rest. Even during dinner, Joe kept silent. Bright sunlight shone through the opening of the cave that they had slept in, showing that a new day had arrived. The snow that was piled up outside made things appear brighter than normal. As the seven children had burrowed deep inside the cave last night to huddle together from the cold, it didn't take long before they realized that two of their comrades were missing. Both Joe and Gomon were gone. Everyone's eyes shot open at once. It was Sora who found the letter placed near the opening of the cave. A rock had been placed on top of it so the wind wouldn't blow it away. "I'm climbing up the mountain to see for sure whether or not this place is an island. Please stay here and wait for me." Infinity Mountain towered before their eyes from the snowfield that they were in now. Because it looked like a steep tower, it had appeared drastically tall, but now that they were closer to it, they could see that it wasn't as high as they had originally imagined. Even so, that didn't mean it was an easy mountain for Joe and his small Digimon, who was yet unable to evolve, to climb successfully.
He must have felt terrible about what happened last night. All this time, Sora whispered.
Whether he heard it or not, Taichi said, It's dangerous to be up there alone. Let's go help him. With Sora's Digimon, me and Agumon can get there quick. The rest of you guys can catch up later.
His decisions came with lightning speed in times like this. Taichi usually acted without giving a more detailed explanation, but his reasoning was always sound.
Piyomon evolve! Birdramon! Sora's pink-coloured bird Digimon, Piyomon, always acted like a pampered child, but now she changed shape into a large and fierce firebird Digimon. Just as one would expect from the flames wrapped around her body, the temperature there was too high for anyone to climb on. But Taichi, Agumon, and Sora could dangle from her two clawed feet. This was the only part of Birdramon that was like an ordinary bird. Hanging, with Agumon onto one of Birdramon's legs, as if he was riding a ski lift, Taichi looked behind him and yelled, "Well, Yamato, I'm counting on you to take care of them!" "Got it! Leave it to me!" was how the blonde responded, but when Yamato looked behind him, he couldn't help but let out a little sigh. There was his little brother, the fourth grade boy, who hardly talked and was followed by a ladybug that spoke in Kansai dialect, and the boy's female classmate who spoke aloud everything she was thinking. Infinity Mountain loomed above their sights. But in reality, the mountain incorporated a long, well-worn road all the way up to its apex. And it wasn't impossible for even an elementary school grader to climb it. Gomon jumped steadily alongside Joe. His white body was exactly like that of a seal, including his flippers. So his form didn't appear as if it was well suited for this rocky environment. However, he made no sound of a complaint as he climbed. In fact, he kept making up saucy comments like, "Joe, I'm leaving you behind if you don't hurry up!" "You're one to talk, I'll leave you behind if you slow down," Joe shot back while silently thinking that he had never spoken so rudely like this towards friends in his classes and in cram school. Anyway, it's great that it's starting to get warmer ever since we started climbing. "I'm strong enough to tough this out even with the cold, though." The pair kept poking at each other all throughout their climb. Joe didn't know it at the time, but the one thing that distracted him from feeling discouraged at climbing the unfamiliar mountain all on his own was Gomon's constant chatter. A part of the mountainside split open without a sound. The inside of it was like a cave, but because no light spilled into it, one could not tell how deep it was. The only thing one could see was a darkness that appeared to be saturated with evil intent. Something black came rushing out from inside, and the split closed silently once more. The seam could not be seen anywhere. Gomon noticed them at first. "Hey, look! Black gears!" without a second thought. Joe pulled Gomon to him and hid. Many of the Digimon who had attacked them in the past few days all had a black gear stuck inside them somewhere in their bodies. The black gears made them lose their sanity and become violent. To remove them from a Digimon's body, the gears needed to be attacked with a considerable amount of power before they were destroyed. None of the children knew where the black gears came from and what their purpose was. But now, Joe said, "They flew over from this mountain." He looked at Gomon. "I'm not stupid enough to wait for one of those things to stick into me," Gomon said, answering the unspoken worry that Joe felt. He turned. "Well, let's go, Joe! There's still a long way ahead of us." A gear pierced through the clouds as it flew at mid-height of the mountain. With a sharp turn, it punctured the back of a Digimon who was in the middle of descending from the skies, so hard that half of it stuck out of the Digimon's body. The black gears may not be made completely from some solid substance. The Digimon's back gave no indication of a wound or even a spurt of blood. The only thing that changed was the Digimon's eyes, although one could only see glass because it was wearing something similar to a welding helmet. These eyes glowed with a strange light that looked very evil. No matter how worn the mountain path was, it was still very steep. However, not even Mimi gave a peep of a complaint. There was no mistake that all of them were thinking about Joe. Each of them was aware that they were the ones who had pushed him so far that he had felt obliged to make this climb on his own. Yamato and the others somehow made it halfway up when they spotted Taichi and the others, along with Joe, already engaged in battle.
"Look! Over there! Bergamon's about to fall!"
Takaru, who was ahead of them, screamed.
"Greymon is there too! Ah, he's trying to attack the Digimon who looks like a horse," Koshiro said, pointing to a Digimon flying in the sky.
Among the gaps in the trees, they could see Greymon aim a ball of fire in the air above him, but the narrow mountain path was not wide enough for him to gain a foothold and support his large build. The Digimon that they believed to be the enemy was a flying white horse. Flapping its wings broadly, it rapidly changed course in mid-air and shot out white light from its mouth. Greymon lost his balance and fell.
"Greymon!" Yamato cried out.
As Greymon scrambled, he landed in a lower place that was much wider than before. It was there that they saw the fiery wings of Bergamon. Glowing, she became smaller and returned to Piyomon. She must have exhausted a colossal amount of energy to reach the mountain. Taichi chased after Greymon by sliding down the slope. Yamato and the others couldn't see her, but Sora must have been there as well. The flying horse Digimon began to aim more of his attacks in that direction.
"Gabumon, let's go!"
Yamato called out to his Digimon. When evolved, Gabumon had an enormous fighting strength, but at this, Yamato hesitated. He couldn't fly. It wasn't certain whether or not they would make it in time, and there wasn't a chance he could leave Takeru and the others alone.
"We'll go ahead,"
Koshiro said to Tentomon. When Tentomon evolved, he could easily fly there, with Koshiro riding on his head. But there was one problem. If Takeru was to be taken along with Yamato's Digimon, Koshiro would have to bring Mimi and Palmon. This addition would greatly reduce Kabuterimon's offensive ability. After all, the flying horse moved at such a quick speed. Kabuterimon wouldn't be able to deal with this effectively if too many people were balanced on his head. Even so, they could not leave Mimi alone. That was obviously quite dangerous, because she's so much stronger than everyone else, obviously. Anyway, deciding over what to do and unable to come up with a decision, Yamato and Koshiro looked at each other. Mimi, who had been staring in blank amazement above her, now raised her voice.
"Ah, there's Cho-senpai!"
Snapping their heads up, both Yamato and Koshiro saw Joe jump off a cliff. He had aimed himself at the back of the flying horse Digimon.
"That's too reckless!"
Only narrowly did Joe make it. He was grabbing tightly onto something on the Digimon's back.
"He's trying to take out the black gear! No, look out!"
Mimi cried, unable to withstand as the flying horse twisted its body to buck him off. Joe was thrown towards the skies. Now Goemon leaped off the cliff. Light shot out from everywhere that the children couldn't see. And when it reached Goemon, the light radiated from inside him and changed him into a bigger shape.
"Goemon evolve! Hikakumon!"
He became a Digimon that was as big as Greymon. His entire body was covered with long white hairs. Hikakumon braced himself on a ledge that was slightly higher up than where Greymon was. Joe landed with a soft bounce on his back.
"Ah, he shot out a horn!"
Yamato and the others were just as surprised as Takaru. The horn propelled through the air like a rocket, a fizzling fire burning at the end of the tail. The flying horse dodged it, but the horn, that looked as if it was about to fall towards the ground, threw off its shell to reveal the real missile inside. The missile was what had been sprouting fire, and it changed direction to aim directly at the horse's back. Advancing swiftly, as if it was being pulled towards its mark, it exploded into the flying horse's back. From within the beam of light that followed, the silhouette of a black gear floated upwards and was pulverized.
"He did it! Joe-san's Digimon is so cool!"
As Takaru and the others rejoice, they turn their gazes back to Joe to find a new horn had regrown on top of Ikakumon's head. They couldn't see Joe's expression being so far away, but they were sure that he too was wearing a joyous look on his face. But by the time the children met up again, Joe was looking more depressed than they had seen him before. When Yamato's group had finally rejoined the others at the summit, Joe was on his knees in the dirt.
"This place really was an island. No matter where we walk, we can't escape from here."
The mountain peak was as wide as a gymnasium, and they could see all of their surroundings from there, what they'd walked through, as well as the opposite side of the mountain. No matter where they turned, the sea stretched endlessly towards the horizon. they could not find any continents or any other lands out there. Suddenly, they wished they had accepted what the Digimon said earlier on the spot. It would have made things easier. Would they have to continue living the rest of their lives on the isolated island, or should they continue hoping for help to reach them? And even so, for how long would they have to wait? Anyway, we should climb down. There's no way we can sleep here for the night, Taichi said as he peered below him with his only possession, a mini telescope. Ah, there's a house. Looks pretty big. Joe jerked his head up in surprise, but immediately wondered if Taichi only made that up so he could get everyone moving. Oh, you don't trust me, do you? I'm telling the truth. There, look. The minute Taichi lifted the mini telescope from his eye, he couldn't find where the house was again. That's okay, Joe said unenthusiastically. You don't have to make up something so transparent, so it'll give us useless hope. He showed no signs of standing up. Both Takaru and Mimi hadn't recovered from their climb to the mountain either. Agumon, Gomon, and Piyomon were eating to refresh themselves after the battle. If things had kept up that way, it would have taken a long time before they began to make their way down the mountain. Luckily or unluckily for them, they would not be staying there for long. Hee-hee-hee-hee-hee! A green demon appeared from the path that Yamato and the others had used to climb up. His face was twice as large as a Namahage mask, but just as savage. If they hadn't seen his mouth move and speak viciously at them, the children might have thought that he was just an ordinary adult wearing a mask. I finally caught up with all ya! You're all dead! The entire upper half of the demon's body was green. His muscular shoulders seemed as big as small hills, while the length of his arms that stretched from them were as big as a human's. When he made a fist, it looked five times bigger. In his right hand was gripped a large club that looked as if it was made from bone. With one twirl of that club, the stone next to him smashed into sand particles. The sound it created was like an explosion. Hearing that sound, the children began to move for the first time. Run! They didn't know what sort of guy the demon was, but they knew beyond a doubt that he was after them. Heading towards the opposite end of the summit, Sora shouted, "There's a path over there!" Under her guidance, they all ran down the road that she had pointed out if they were trying to roll towards the bottom. After making sure that the slowest of the group, Mimi, Takeru, and Joe, had gone ahead of him, Yamato brought up the rear. The demon was ambling calmly after them, but they couldn't predict how fast he could move once he began to run.
Gabumon, you can evolve any time, right?
Yeah, whenever you want.
After running for only a little while, they saw Sora and the others had stopped ahead of them. Another human-shaped body was blocking the path. It wasn't green this time, although it did have a body covered with many scars that looked far sturdier than the green demon. What's more, it couldn't have been a human after all, because from the neck up was the head of a lion.
It's Leomon!
Seeing Takeru's worried look beside him, Patamon fluttered his ears as he said comfortingly, "Don't worry, Leomon is a Digimon of justice. He's really strong, but he's a good Digimon," Piyomon added. "So he wasn't a human, but a Digimon. What's more, a good Digimon." Sora and the others smiled with relief. That is, until Leomon laid a hand on the sword wrapped around his waist and said, "Chosen children, die." The words were spoken in a low, withered voice, but Sora could hear him plainly. Pulling out his sword with an underhand grip, Leomon made a wide stance. They didn't know what or who the chosen children were, but the sole thing that they realized was that this Digimon was also planning to kill them, just like the green demon. Speaking of which, the green demon was closing in on them from behind. There was no way to escape from the mountain. The sound of the club hitting rock again with a coarse laugh could be heard behind them. While the Leomon in front of them began to advance towards them, Leomon's sword gave off a dull glint. His pace was surprisingly slow.
Agumon, evolve now!
Spurred by Taichi's voice, all the Digimon evolved simultaneously.
Agumon, evolve! Greymon!
Piyomon, evolve!
Bergamon!
Palamon, evolve!
Togemon!
Before Leomon stood Greymon, while the firebird, Bergamon, hovered in the skies above them. Next to Greymon was a cactus with arms and legs readying herself into a fighting stance. It was the evolved form of Mimi's Palmon, Togemon.
Gabumon evolve! Garurumon!
Tentomon evolve!
Kabuterimon!
Gabumon evolve!
Ikakumon!
Facing the green demon was Ikakumon, who had just evolved, waving his horn in his opponent's face. Next to him was an enormous blue wolf that Yamato's Gabumon had evolved into, Garurumon. Buzzing above them was the large rhinoceros beetle that Tentomon evolved into, Kabuterimon. With the odds of 6-2, even Leomon and the green demon stopped walking. Each of the children's Digimon was larger than the size of a human. Even the smallest of them, Togemon, was twice as large as Leomon. Greymon moved first to attack. Just when he was about to open his mouth to blast out a fireball, the sound of explosion was heard above their heads. The rock near the summit started to crumble. If nothing was done, Taichi and the others would be dragged into the rock slide, and they wouldn't be able to escape from that. Greymon shot out fire, while Garurumon let out a long spray of pale flames from his mouth. Bergamon spread her wings grandly, shooting out a number of smaller fireballs. Ikakumon released a consecutive stream of explosive horns, while Kabuterimon formed a ball of strong electricity with his set of 3 legs before shooting it out. The rocks that were close to falling on them dissolved into fine pieces. One large piece that had escaped the barrage of attacks and was heading towards the children was deftly blown to bits by one rapid punch from Togemon. She was wearing bright red boxing gloves on her hands. All of the rocks had turned into sand, which rained incessantly on them. By the time it stopped and the children finally raised their heads, both Leomon and the green demon had disappeared from the mountain trail. Are they gone? Joe asked as he repositioned his glasses up his nose. Alright, so that was the first part of chapter 2. I was surprised, I thought that we'd actually get, the other kids' evolutions, but no, we're just skipping a couple of episodes, but that's fine, it's more or less formulaic at that point, so I guess they're sort of cutting out bits. At least they didn't do what the Digimon Frontier manga did that was released in Asia and Australia, where everyone got their evolution except for Zoe. It's just weird. Skip the majority of them, not just one. Anyway, so I would have liked to see the Toy Town episode in novel form, though. So thanks again for Onkei for the translations. And the link dump's linked in the description, where I'll link the translations. Our Redbubble is also linked in the description, and you can get more than just shirts there too. You can contact us and stay updated. You can email us at lostintranslationmon@gmail.com, or you can comment on this episode or message us on our website, lostintranslationmon.com. You can follow us on @translationmon on Twitter, and you can find us on Lost in Translation on Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. We have a discussion thread on With the Will, and a Reddit thread in the Digimon subreddit. And we would appreciate if you review us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and any other podcast listening app that you use. We hear that ratings assist people finding out the podcast, so yay, and we'll read them out. We also have a website, which I mentioned before, which is where the link dump is now, yay. And here you can vote in polls, check our release schedule, and our blog posts. You can donate to our Patreon, which is linked in the description, from as little as $1 a month. That gets you access to a listener Discord server, but there are higher levels with more rewards such as notes, early episodes, and more. And thank you to our current supporters on Patreon, Joe, Anime Guy, who is Anime Guy Kurosaki 1 on YouTube, Stephen Reeves, WildWing64, who on Archive of Our Own, Kaidawashi, Chisai, who you can follow on Tumblr at Chisai236, Kyle, Tom, Lizmet, who is a Lekmon on Tumblr, Nicholas, Sam, Spiral, Keith from A Computer Podcast on the Internet, Magnus, Annabelle, Himi, Alex, and Luke. You can also make one donation at our PayPal, which you found in the description. It's paypal.me/edgemon. And we also have a Ko-fi that you can donate to, which is ko-fi.com/edra. And thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Bye!